Funeral services for former Republican Governor Jim Edgar of Illinois will take place in Springfield on Saturday. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker has called Edgar a model public servant. And Democratic House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch described him as a, quote, damn good governor. Before his death, Edgar spent almost 3 hours talking to WBEZ's Dave McKinney about his life and legacy, his cancer battle, and a Republican Party under Donald Trump he no longer recognizes.
Late last year, Edgar wanted to check in his blood sugar. The results came back fine, but something seemed off about his liver. The last thing he expected to hear is a lifelong teetotaler. Edgar's doctor ordered further testing.
So I went in and got the MRI, and it was New Year's Eve. He called me and said, it's not good. He says, it looks like you've got cancer in the pancreas and the liver.
There'd been no pain or any other warning signs. That diagnosis was a total accident. In the weeks and months that followed, with the multiple rounds of chemotherapy, there was a strong sense that this cancer maybe had been caught early. Yes, his stamina, appetite, and always well-groomed head of hair suffered during treatments, but in our conversation last spring, he sounded like the Edgar I knew from my days in Springfield covering him in the 1990s.
How has it altered your life up to this point?
Oh, huge. I mean, that's all I think about.
In April and again in May, we spent some time talking on the phone. The first call lasted close to an hour, the second one close to 2 hours, and none of it ever aired. We chatted not only about the day's political events, but also his life's work.
I think what I'm the most proud of are people said he was good.
As governor, Edgar made adoptions a priority and tried to narrow the gap between rich and poor public school systems. He launched a plan to pay down the state's gargantuan pension obligations, and he left office with a $1.5 billion budget surplus. Edgar was one of the last statewide Republicans who brought downstate and suburbia together for a winning coalition. He favored gun control and abortion rights and was a big reason Republicans controlled the governor's mansion for 26 straight years between the late 1970s and early 2000s. And what he did in 1994, getting reelected by winning 101 of the state's 102 counties, still stands as one of the most dominant political performances by a statewide candidate in Illinois history. Only Gallatin County in far southeastern Illinois prevented a clean sweep, and there he lost by only 3 votes.
And I'm still mad about Gallatin County, those 3 votes. I mean, to the day I die, I'll be mad about that.
Edgar grew up in downstate Charleston. His dad died in an automobile crash when Edgar was 7. He developed his taste for politics around that age. Even though he grew up in a Democratic home, he got his first grade class in a mock election to vote for Republican Dwight Eisenhower in a school-wide presidential vote.
I knew that Eisenhower was the Army general. And any red-blooded, I said, six-year-old in 1952, when he ran, would be for the Army general. That's kind of why I was for Eisenhower.
Edgar loved growing up in a small downstate college town. And as a student at Eastern Illinois University, he met his wife of 58 years, Brenda. She was the future mom to their 2 kids, and from the start, his political door knocker. She hit up every one of her classmates in her college dorm to vote for Edgar for student body president. He wound up winning. And after the votes were counted,
she went to her room, and on her door was, congratulations, EIU First Lady. And she got a kick out of that. Now, that's what she'd have been happy if I'd have stopped there.
But he didn't. His passion for politics lasted a lifetime, though in his final years, his passion for the grand old party had begun to fade. Edgar told me the GOP these days under Donald Trump tilts too far to the right.
I still vote in the Republican primary.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I vote in the Republican primary, I want to vote against Trump twice.
When we talked last spring, he was gravely concerned about the country's future under Trump.
I think his job has been terrible. And I mean, I'm probably irrational about Trump, how bad I think he is. But I think that he is so far disrupted about every fabric of American life in a negative way. I worry for this country because I don't know what's going to stop him. I mean, it's obvious that Congress is inept. Courts, I'm not sure. And he's got 3.5 more years to go. So
closer to home, Edgar didn't have the same harsh assessment for Illinois' billionaire Democratic governor, Pritzker. The two first met when they both were on the board of directors for an online horse racing betting company, and Pritzker left a good impression.
With all that kind of money, you can be pretty cocky. But he wasn't. It struck me he just was very level-headed. And so when he ran for governor, of course, it was after the Rauner fiasco. We didn't have a budget for almost 3 years. He looked pretty good.
Edgar praised Pritzker for returning fiscal stability to Illinois and for his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. But he had some trepidation about Pritzker's ongoing dalliance with a 2028 presidential bid.
It's hard to be governor of a state like Illinois and also run for president. And I think that's made it difficult in some ways for him. He spends a lot of time worrying about federal issues, which, you're going to have to if you want to run for president, but maybe you don't have as much time to worry about purely state issues.
Heading to Washington was never on Edgar's radar because he always thought being Illinois governor was a more impactful job in government. But in his political retirement, Edgar still felt the need to contribute. So in 2012, he launched a leadership program aimed at fostering integrity and bipartisanship in emerging political leaders. It's called the Edgar Fellows at the University of Illinois. The program revolved around a set of basic principles: civility, compromise, and compassion. Its alums include House Speaker Chris Welch, House Minority Leader Tony McCombie, and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. In the call, Edgar reminisced about what one graduate, a Democratic staffer from Chicago, said to her classmates.
She got up and said at the end, "You know, I'd never met a Republican until I came to this program. And you know, they're not so bad after all." Now, she was half kidding, but it did. She had a different impression of Republicans, and Republicans have different impressions of Democrats. I mean, downstaters really have this thing about Chicago Democrats. I mean, they just think they're evil. And, you know, this gave a lot of downstate Republicans a chance to meet Chicago Democrats and found out they didn't have horns. In fact, they found out they agreed on a lot more than they disagreed on.
As my last phone call with Edgar neared its end, he brought up one last thing. He grew up in Coles County downstate, and so did I. In fact, I remember running into him as a kid at a local shopping center. That was about 50 years ago. He was running for state representative then and shook my parents' hands.
Oh, well, I was going to tell you one other thing, being a Coles County guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be buried in Coles County, and I'm going to be buried by Lincoln. I'm going to be cremated, and I'm going to split the ashes because I couldn't make up my mind.
Some of his ashes will be in a Coles County cemetery with generations of his family. The rest will be in Springfield's Oak Ridge Cemetery, where Abraham Lincoln is buried. And soon, within eyesight of one another, will be two favorite sons of Central Illinois. Dave McKinney, WBEZ News.